Blog Talk Radio.
Calvary.
Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By His presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call Him mine.
Grace of God beyond degree, mercy.
brothers and sisters, lest we forget Calvary. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us remember what happened at Calvary. When Christ died for our sins, he was sincere, brothers and sisters, about our salvation. And oh, what a sorrow that we just lacking in our situation, not really taking advantage every day of his what he's done at Calvary. So let us remember what he's done at Calvary for us, that we stay faithful and obedient to him. Lord, help us. So let us pray. O our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom to come. Thy will be done upon this earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, as we come to thy throne of grace, we come, Father, with a sorrow heart of sin, Lord, lest we forget what you did, Lord. We would constantly repeat these things. So, Father, let us remember. Let us remember what our sins has cost you. So, Father, forgive us for our sins. And, Father, we need thee. We need thee, Father. So, please, forgive us and lead us, Father, into your righteousness. Now, Lord, as we come, Father, we ask him for the Holy Spirit, Father, to pour it out upon us tonight, Lord. May we gain wisdom. May we gain understanding that we may be obedient to the word of God. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the word we will hear. We thank you for the brothers and sisters that will join. Come and join. We praise you, Father, for this prayer line. We thank you for all things that what you have done for us and even allow us to see another day. We thank you for the Sabbath. We thank you for bringing us through the week. So now, Father, as we come to worship you once again, Father, we pray that you send the Holy Spirit that we may glorify you tonight as we listen on the prayer line and give our testimonies and share and praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you, Father. And we also asking you, Lord, to bless the reading of your word. May the reading, Lord, Father, be esteemed on high because our Savior is that bread that came down from heaven that he may feed us with the bread of life. So thank you once again, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So brothers and sisters, I just want to welcome my brothers and sisters. I want to thank God for my brothers and sisters that they can come and share with us tonight on the prayer line, because that's one thing about it. We know that you can go anywhere, many lines and many places and many things people are doing today, but yet my brothers and sisters come to choose to worship and give God to glory, because it is no day like the day that God have given us. It is his day every day that we should worship him, not as in the Sabbath day, but I'm talking about worshiping God every day. We worship him, we praise him, not giving his day to nothing else. No Mother's Day, no day, no Easter Day, all these days. But God said day one, he created, and it was good. Day two, day three, day four, five, six, seven, and it was good. And so we just thank God for these days. He did it. So thank you, brothers and sisters. He says 6 days he gave us that we should work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath that we shall worship him and serve him. So we thank God for that. So now, brothers and sisters, we're going to have a reading from our brother. And Brother Rick will bring us the reading. And by God's grace, but first, I tell you, we have a couple little things that we will have tonight. We would have... Yes, let us bring the reading first. Amen. And Sister Power is going to bring us a song. So let us open the line for Brother Rick so we can have the word first. Let us speak. Amen. Brother Rick, I will open your line, and you can bring the reading. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola.
Yes, I am here. Okay,
amen.
So we're going to read. We're going to read Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Sister, do you want to read 1 John 2 also?
Yes, and you can read 1 John 2. That is the theme for our Savior. More about Jesus. So go ahead, Brother Rick, read that also.
Okay, we're coming to 1 John chapter 2. And verses 21, 22, and 23. So here we go. I'm just getting turned to that, sister. Okay, 1 John 2, starting with verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, I hear so many people talk about not accepting Christ. Do you hear what the Word says, my brothers and sisters? He say, if you deny Christ, you don't have the Father. So have mercy. May we share that. And when I hear my Muslim, when I hear the Muslim people say they have God, God, God. They have the Father, but they don't want the Son. So sorry to say, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. They are one.
Amen.
And that's right. So we just thank God for his Word. And that is the truth. Amen. So thank you, Brother Rick,
Amen.
For reading the Word of God. And the Bible said the Word of God is truth. And if we abide in the truth, we don't have to worry about anything else, because God said he give us truth and he give us his wisdom. So in his wisdom lies all understanding. And the Bible says when you get wisdom, get understanding. So we praise God for his Word. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. And we're going to come back to you. And I'm going to open your line, and I know you probably would like to share, but I'm going to open Sister Power line while she brings us the theme of the song, More and More About Jesus. Amen. Sister Power, I will open your line. Second.
Hearing me?
Yes. I can hear you now.
Oh,
amen.
Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And thank you, Brother Rick, for the reading. And as the song is telling us, we find that in Matthew 1, Matthew 1, 21, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from our sin. So there is no other name like Jesus. So we're going to sing this song.
Amen.
We want to hear and to study more and more about Jesus. More about Jesus I would know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word. All in communion with my Lord. Hearing his voice in every line. Making each faithful saying mine. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for us. More about Jesus on his throne. Riches in glory, holy zone. More of his kingdom, sure increase. More of his coming, Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness be. More of his love who died for us. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Sister Power. Sister Power, it gave me chills when you was reading that scripture. Oh, my Lord. It gave me chills, my sister. The song, More and More by Jesus. The Bible tells us the name of Jesus, it's all power. So it kills because, you know, my brothers and sisters, if we just sing that praise and look up and just tell him, tell our Father that more, more, I want more about Jesus. I want more about him because you know what? He is the saving grace. I thank God for him. So, sisters and brothers, as we are on the prayer line, let us sing these songs. Let us praise him. And I want to, I was trying to also call Sister Carla. I see she has joined us. And Sister Carla, I was calling you to lift us up in prayer, but I wanted to ask if you can do it now. You can give a prayer because I know later that you will be going to work. So, Sister Power, I want to thank you, but I'm going to open your line back up. But I want to let Sister Carla lift us up in prayer once more. And also, she can share because I know she's getting ready to head to work. So let us open her line. Sister Carla, I know you didn't press 1 yet. So just a second, Sister Power. So, Sister Carla, you are there, you ready? My sister,
yes.
Are you on your way to work?
Yes, can you hear me? Is
yes,
it how's
the
sound?
Sound
okay,
is
praise
very
the Lord.
Good.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, because I'm on the Bluetooth in the phone. Okay, praise the Lord. Did you want me to do the song? I'm sorry, not a song. Do you want me to pray?
Pray. Lift us up in prayer. Yes, yes.
Just a ordinary prayer, right? There's no
like
requests yet, right?
Prayer. We're not in a prayer for prayer time. Just a general prayer. Yeah.
Okay.
Lift up right now. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, not a problem. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Kind and loving Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for blessing us, Lord, for us to open our eyes again to see your goodness, to hear, O Lord, of your mercy and your love to each and every one of our brothers and sisters, Lord, what you have brought, the way that you have brought us and what you have brought us through, Lord, some through the water, some through the fire, some through storms, but all through the blood, Lord. And we thank you for your precious blood that you shed for each and every one of us, Lord. Without the remission of sin, there would be none of us, O Lord. Without you shedding your blood, there would be none of us, O Lord. And we just praise you. We glorify, we magnify your name, O kind and loving Father. While many are celebrating Mother's Day, we are celebrating your soon return. We are celebrating your precious blood that you have shed for us. We are celebrating you forgiving us of our sins, our iniquity, and our transgression, and healing us of our diseases and infirmity of the mind, of the body, and the soul. Lord, we ask that you will bless our children, our grandchildren, the youth among us, O Lord, the young people, O Lord. They are your children, too, and they want to be saved. They need to be saved, Lord. They don't know what's coming upon them, O Lord, even we, because pen cannot even write what will be coming upon us, O Father. But if we are founded in you, we will be saved, O Lord. We will be protected, and we will be shielded. O kind and loving Father, give us the love for godly things. Give us the love for you. Help us that we have not that divided mind, that unsettling heart. Oh, Father, help us to choose aright. Help us to seek you in all decision that we make and everything we do. And help us to repent when we have wronged each other. And help us to confess our sins to you, oh, most high and loving Father. We thank you even for this opportunity that we get to come on the line. I pray for all those who are listening throughout the world, in the Canada, the Netherlands, in Japan, South Korea, in all part of Asia, the Caribbean, the United States, the four corners of the earth, O Lord, I ask that you will touch them in a marked way. Answer their prayer, O Lord. Protect them and shield them and keep them from the enemies and those that's trying to destroy them.
Yes.
And we just thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Sister Carla, thank you for praying for our brothers and sisters, the people that's on this prayer online and lifting them up. Thank you, Sister, for that, because it's truly prayers do need to go out to this world. Now, people out there enjoying this day, Mother's Day, sisters and brothers, and it's so much going on. And on a Mother's Day, while children what they doing? Committing suicide. Parents are shooting up children. All these things, and it's happening in this world, and causing. And yet, people are gathering together to drink and go out and eat and all this when they should be there praying for their children, while these children having all kinds of thoughts of suicide and going out to hurt someone else. All these crazy things going on in the world when we should be praying rather than gathering together, coming together for such and this and that Mother's Day and these days. Things are happening in this world. Now, nobody knows tonight how many people are going to be going to get hurt or whatever because of the gathering. So we're going to lift this up in prayer. Now, I know everyone have saw on the news in Florida, Palm Beach, how this mother just took a gun and put to her two young boys' head and just killed them children while they was in their bed. You know, girl, I just didn't know how to respond to that. Like, Lord, have mercy. You know, we should be in prayer. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, all I can say is that let's pray. Let's pray. And all I can say is more about Jesus. Amen. So thank you so much, Sister Carla. Thank you, Sister Powell, Brother Rick. And as we look at this verse, when they talk about Isaiah, he said, a child is given to a world of sin, and his life is to be punished by pain and suffering for us to continue in this sin. It's so pitiful that nobody, that the people, adults out there, so into themselves and not thinking about these young children. When you out there doing what you're doing, think about the children. The children going to do worse. You may be gathering to do something, but these children not understanding that gathering is something that we, but yet if we gather, host a prayer, host something that's going to be lift these children up, that they don't go out and party afterwards. Oh, my. It's really serious, brothers and sisters. We done had one young lady, one year, commit suicide. We done had so many others doing so many crazy things in this world. So we need prayer. And it also, he says in chapter 9 and verse 6, the government shall be up on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting. Brothers and sisters, Christ is who he says is, and he is willing to save. But you know what? They got to hear the word from somebody. They got to see the life walking, as Brother Ray and I was discussing. He said, children have to see the life of a sincere adult. So thank you, brothers and sisters. My husband calling me and knocking at the door. So let me open the line so I can go to the door.
Sister Leola, I wanted to share a scripture while you go and open the door.
I don't know how that happened. My phone just went to Ray line. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to open the line for the next caller. That is 272-770. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Leola. Thank you so much. This is Tamiko from Pennsylvania. And I'd just like to sing a song, if I may. Psalm 294, His Power in the Blood. Amen. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from the passion and pride? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just would like to share a quick scripture. Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we thank you, dear Lord, for everything you do and say for us, because we cannot do nothing of ourselves. We thank you that you are the vine, we are the branches, and we thank you for this precious day of life. So I thank you so much, my dear sister, for opening my line, and God bless you all on this prayer line, all my precious brothers and sisters. Sister Carla, safe travel and mercies to you, and I pray that everything goes well for you. May the Lord always watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko. Thank you for the wonderful song, There is Power in the Blood. Amen, amen. And I will open up the line for Brother Rick so he can share his testimony. Amen. Brother Rick, I know you had to share, so now I will open your line. Amen.
Hey, amen, Sister. Thank you for opening my line again, and thank you, Sister Powell, for her beautiful song, and Sister Tamiko, There is Power in the Blood. And wow, what a beautiful song, and the message of that song is just amazing. And to go along with that song, and also, Sister, the reading that we had earlier in 1 John 2, I read verses 21, 22, and 23, and, but then 20, as I was reading on a little further after we had finished that, I came across this, and it was just a beautiful passage here. So this is 1 John 2, 24 and 25. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And I think, brothers and sisters, that is what we are all here for, is to share, to continue on, to strengthen each other, to encourage each other on to eternal life. Now, Christ is the one that's going to get us there, but you know what? When we encourage each other, it helps a tremendous amount. So I just thank my brothers and sisters for encouraging me, praying for me, and just wanted to have prayer for my wife. She is still, she's got bronchitis. We had this little respiratory virus, and I am getting over it. I'm still having a little bit of coughing, but not much. I got into a lot of different natural remedies, mullein leaf extract. I got seed oil, a number of different things that I was taking, and it really helped. You know, God is good. We want to obey him. He will bring these things to us. My daughter actually brought me over a bunch of things that were all natural that she had been using, and they really did help. So I'm just thanking God for giving us that knowledge. But my wife is taking two different medications for a heart problem that she has, and she has to be very careful about anything else that she takes, because it could interfere with that. So she has not been able to take all the different natural remedies, and so she's having a harder time getting rid of this. So just pray for my wife that she will recover. And then I want to pray for Ashley. I talked to her just last night. I don't know what's going on with her, but she seemed to be doing well last night, and I'm going to go over and see her this week again. I saw her this past week for just a short time, and I'm going to go visit her again, see how she's doing, and encourage her to come back to the Lord, to come back to church, just to seek him, because he is our only answers, brothers and sisters. It just, there is no other answer. There's no wisdom. There is no goodness in any of us except through him. And just want to keep my friend, young friend John, in prayer. We're supposed to have a Bible study this next week, so please keep us in prayer as we study the Lord's Word, that the Holy Spirit will impress upon his mind the importance of keeping God's Sabbath day and also gathering together with the brothers on the Sabbath rather than skipping out and going to church on Sundays. Appreciate Sister Leoli opening my line, and appreciate all the brothers and sisters, Sister Carla for the prayer and all the other ones there. So thank you very much.
Amen. Amen, Brother Rick. Thank you for sharing, especially reading those scriptures. And absolutely, those scriptures that we are reading in the songs, and the songs is simply the worship also. So as we sing these songs, there's power in the blood. Yes, brothers and sisters, we see how much power of songs. I had chills when Sister Powell, I'm telling you, chills went through my body as she was reading, and then the song she sung. And then Sister Tamika come with that song, Power in the Blood. Oh, God, it's so good. So now that we are here, brothers and sisters, together, we are standing on one accord, as Christ called us to stand one accord, brothers and sisters, because the power of the Holy Spirit can really bond and help us and to be encouraged, you know, together. So we're going to lift up your wife in prayer, Brother Rick, because truly, when, like you said, taking herbals and medication too, we know you can't combine, because one going to void out the other, because that's what I learned, that you cannot take them together, because that herbal medicine, it's powerful. So it may not work for the for her if she would take anything else. So praise God that you know these things. So let us offer a prayer for your wife and lift her up. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come before you, Lord. We stand in the gap for one another, Father, because Brother Rick's wife need prayers, Lord. You know all about our situation. Lord, Father, we ask that you intervene for her, Lord, Father, that she may trust you, Lord, that she may know that God is allowing her, Father, allowing us to come down with things to let us know, trust me, because I am the one that created you. And he's just telling us, lean not to your own understanding, but all thy ways acknowledge him, because he shall direct our path. Oh, Father, we thank you. Amen. We thank you for the word that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, because you are true, and you are the living God that said that I am the bread that came down from heaven, and if you eat of this bread, you shall live. And, Father, thank you. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for your word that you give to us. Now, Lord, as we lift up Brother Rick's wife, Lord, we call upon the Most High, Father, the doctor, Dr. Jesus, the healer, the physician, the one who healed the paralytic, and the one who healed Peter's mother-in-law with the fever. And she jumped up, Lord, and she ran, and she cooked food and made food for them. Oh, Father, we thank you for what you were able to do, Lord, because any doctor, God guards the hand. God is the one to feed them information and to know, to help people. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, Father, because you created this machinery, Lord, and only you have that book for this body, because you have created and you know all about it. So, Father, I'm asking that you would give her that wisdom and to trust you, and knowing that you're able to fix everything that's broken. So, Lord, Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for Brother Rick. We thank you for his wife. We thank you for his daughter. And, Lord, Father, we know that you allow all of us through our trials, because without a trial, I cannot be healed. I cannot be chastised, because you have to let us go through to let us know where we need to come back. And when we come back to you, Lord, then we humble ourselves and we yield it all to you, Father, because you are that great God that healeth us and heareth us. Mm. Oh, Father, thank you for that mighty and that power that you have given to your Son, that he can do all things but fail. So, Father, now we ask that you go before Ashley, Father, to touch your heart, Lord. We don't want to bring no more up to her what to do and what not to do. But, Lord, Father, let Jesus fix it for you, because you know what? He know Ashley better than her father. He know Ashley better than herself. So, Father, you know Jarvis, Lord, Father, better than what I know him. And, Lord, you can fix him. You can help him, Lord, Father. So if we just leave it in your hand, Lord, you said I would do what I have to do for them. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing. You're working on them, Lord. So you, we leave it all in your hand to be able to do what you do for them. So thank you once again, Father. Lord, we lift up her children. Lord, as Brother Rick and his wife and all the family members are doing for these children. Now, Lord, Father, please allow these children to see their grandfather, their grandmother. Let them look and see the life they're living, the life they are presenting for them, to help them cling to Jesus, because he's the only one that we really need to look to and to keep our eyes fastened upon. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Bless each and every one of his family members as he comes to you in prayer. Father, thank you once again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, now we will continue. Thank you, Brother Rick, once again. Sister Leola has to, is memory. Sometime I have to come back because Sister Leola remember some things. But I want to thank you, Brother Rick, for sharing with us. I want to thank you for and even bringing prayer requests, because this is a prayer line, and that's what we do. We lift up prayers for brothers and sisters. Amen. So thank you. And now, brothers and sisters, I know Sister Powell hadn't got her chance to share, and we will open her line so she can share her her testimony. Amen. Sister Powell. And hold on, Sister Powell. I think Sister Carla may have something else. Let us open her line, because I know that she has to go to work. Amen, Sister Carla. I know you wanted to share also. Amen. Amen.
Yes, yes, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola. Thank you, Sister Powell, for me going ahead. Yes, I do have to go to work. But just want to share this quick reading from Adventist Home, as you was talking about parents and about children, Sister Leola, and you know, what's going on in the world. So it says, parents are to make the religion of Christ attractive by their cheerfulness, their Christian courtesy, and their tender compassion, sympathy. But they are to be firm in requiring respect and obedience. Right principle must be established in the mind of the children. We need to present to the youth an inducement for right doing. Silver and gold is not sufficient for this. Let us reveal to them the love and mercy and grace of Christ, the preciousness of his word, the joy of the overcomer. In effect of this kind, you will do a work that will last throughout eternity. Why some parents fail? Some parents, although they profess to be religious, do not keep before their children the fact that God is to be served and obeyed, that convenience, pleasure, or inclination should not interfere with his claim upon them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This fact should be woven into the very life and character. The right conception of God through the knowledge of Christ died, that we might be saved, should be impressed upon their mind. This is talking about little one, also the youth from the beginning. One more paragraph. You may think, parents, that you have not time to do all this, but you must take time to do your work in your family, else Satan will supply the deficiency. Cut out everything else from your life that prevent this work from being done, and train your children after his order. Neglect anything of a temporal nature. Be satisfied to live economically, buying about your wants, but for Christ's sake, do not neglect the religious training of yourself and your children, your family. Amen. And may the Lord help us where we have failed. May we repent and come up higher. And, you know, those with grandchildren, take this time to train them aright and to continue to pray and to afflict the children, as I'm doing for my two children. And I also intercede for their sibling and their friends and, you know, the youth as a whole. So praise the Lord, and I just thank the Lord. Thank you again for opening up my line. May God bless each and every one of us as we strive for the mastery, strive to overcome temptation, sin, and anything that draws away from the love of Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing that, because truly, out here, I mean, everywhere, we see so many parents has reserved so many places to go in and eat, when we should be such example to our children today, and making it, working it out that they know the Lord more than anything, rather than bringing them into these places and have them gluttony. Oh, what a sin, sisters and brothers. So by God's grace, we got to train our children. So let me open the line for the next one. Thank you, Sister Carla, once again for reading that and sharing that. So let us open the next line. Thank you once again. Amen. So we open the next line. Brothers and sisters, we ask that you be patient. And I had Sister Power. I was supposed to open Sister Power line next. Amen. Sister Power, your line.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line once more, second time. And I just thank God that God is there. He had shown us the way. He is not forcing us, his choice. And he gave us a command, especially to our children. This is how he told us in his word, that we must present his word to them in season and out of season, when they go to bed and also when they wake up, these little ones. And this is a really blessing for us to join here and to listen to God's people giving him God the praise, because Jesus, we know, he is the only creator of heaven and earth, and everything that is in it is Jesus. And, you know, we saw the story with Jesus, that Jesus walked with men, right? Jesus walked with them, even on the sea, his disciples on the sea. And Jesus walked with them always. Jesus filled their need, you know. And, you know, everywhere that Jesus went, you know, see how he is wonderful, how his name is marvelous. Everywhere that Jesus went, people follow him, right? Multitude upon multitude, both morning and evening. When he was in the desert, everywhere he goes, in the villages, multitude and multitude follow him. If Jesus wasn't a man with love, kindness, tender-hearted, long-suffering, I know those people would not follow him. And I did not think that they just follow him for the loaf or the slice of bread that they got, yeah, that he could give them to eat. But what he has done to them, they saw that he have healed the sick, you know, the dumb, the lame. Even the dead, if they saw that Jesus have done that. So they have a right to follow Jesus. I want this Jesus. His name is wonderful. You know, his name is the creator. His name is the provider. And after studying God's word, and we see how wonderful Jesus is to us and what he commanded, and all those multitudes, right? They were there with him morning, noon, and night. And brothers and sisters, although they were there morning and night, Jesus didn't want to send them away. Jesus had something better for them, even though they were listening to the word of God. And he had a better gift for them. And he told the disciples, no, you go and buy bread for them, right? Let them sit on the grass. And he sat them down on that grass. And we saw that love, right? The multitude, disciples, them was wondering and say, hey, we don't have money. He said, go and buy bread for them, you know. So that is the love that Jesus has for us. I pray for myself that I will have that great love, you know, to carry out God's word, to share his word to those out there, and to allow them, despite of the difficulties they are facing, the pit they are in, they have hope, because there is a God, there is a loving Father, and there is a Creator. If they just trust him, he is able to do all things. My dear beloved brothers and sisters, I am so grateful and thankful to God that, you know what, we have this line and all these lines that we can come to learn more about him. I can say to him, thank him for answering my prayer, right? Personal my prayer and my prayer of praise report this day. And I think most of the brothers and sisters on the line heard all the time I came on and I talk about praying for my children, praying for my children. I was in deep concern a few months ago with one of my daughter and her fiancé. And my dear beloved on this land, I pray that God will give them a heart of flesh, so that they will reunite the right way so that they can follow God and serve in his spirit and in truth. And you know what? My prayer was answered. God hear my cry. God saw the tears and he had answered my prayer. And I thank God for you guys who pray for my children, who prayed, continue for my children and grandchildren as we pray for our brothers and sister children on this land. And I'm still asking for prayer as they reunite themselves in marriage, Sophie and Kenny. I am asking continually prayer for them so that their life will fully surrender to the Lord and that they will have a close relationship with the Lord in baptism and to follow God. So I just say this evening, Lord, my dear brothers and sisters, thank you for praying. God had hear and he had answered my prayer, and I just want to give thanks to him. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his mercies endure it forever. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for answering my prayer. You said we must cast all our burden and our care to you because you are our caregiver. You are our burden bearer. And Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my prayer, my line.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. God heard your agonizing prayer. You prayed faithful, my sister, and God heard the prayer and answered according to his will. So we just give God the glory tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Now we got quite a few have pressed one, so let us open the lines. We got brothers and sisters just join in a few minutes. So let's open the line for 985-232. Your line is open. Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Beaumont, Texas, but we're on our way back to home, Louisiana. I just thank God for watching over us and waking us up today. I would like to read a devotion prayer. Oh, Lord, we do not understand many things that happen to us in life, in this life. But we know that while men freely choose to do evil and wrong others, they are not outside of your providential rule of your creation. Then only brings what you sent. And we know that work all of it together for the good of us, your people, and for your own everlasting glory. Therefore, we're not to be discouraged amidst the wrong done to us by others, but we'll trust that your meant is for good. Amen. Amen. Oh, we thank the Lord for his words of encouragement, because his word stands. And we are troubled by just what he said, and it's meant for what it meant. But I thank God, because truly I know God's going to bring the word and tell us the truth, but man will not. And it's just like saying, man, like some men are trying to teach all different kinds of religion and trying to wheel you in just to get a dollar. And then trying to make you believe everything is true, what they're saying. And it's not. So, you know I have to stick with the Lord, because I know what the Lord say. And, you know, and I stick with the King James Bible, because I went through all the Bibles and I compared it with the King James, and it's not lining up. So I just thank God for the King James Bible, because I done been through several. And my eyes are staying on thee. So God is good, and I want to, and he's love. And we also love him. So I just want to give all the mothers a happy Mother's Day, and just wish, thank God, we see another year. Amen.
Yeah, this is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. I just got a little to all my brothers and sisters on the prayer line. And listeners and the talkers of the prayer line, the teachers, and everyone involved. So I just want to say thank God for the prayer line, and I just want to say thank God for, you know, for watching over us and sheltering us from the rain and sheltering us from the bad weather and, you know, just a lot of things. What I mean by that is watching over us and guiding us like a light at the end of the tunnel. And I just keep my mind, you know, focused on God's will. And the more I focus on that, it's like the more things, good things reveal itself, and it's like the more it's like planting a seed. You plant that seed, a good seed, and eventually it grows into be something wonderful. All you have to do is keep the faith that it will happen, and it will. Just hang on to faith. So stay strong. Keep believing on. God bless. And pray for that Ben Light family. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda. May God bless you all and give y'all safe travel and mercy. We will lift you all up in prayer. And you all have to be well. So we will lift you up. Amen. So thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John. Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. We're going to have one more line open. Please be brief. And it's Brother Eli. Your number is 857-505. Your line is, give us your name. We're already.
Amen, Sister Viola. Hello, Sister Viola. Hello, Sister Viola, Sister Power. May God bless you. My name is Brother Eli. I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because he is good. He's truly worthy to be praised, Sister Viola. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, Sister Viola. And Sister Viola, I want to say to Sister Power, Sister Power, keep praying, my dear Sister Power. Sister Power, have faith in the Lord, my dear Sister Power, because my dear Sister Power, the Lord, he is good, Sister Power. God will take care of everything for you, Sister Power. Sister Power, do not be afraid, my dear sister. Be strong in the Lord. Have faith in him because he is good. He's a marvelous God, Sister Power. He's an awesome God. Oh, Sister Power, God is good. God is so good, Sister Power. He is so good for me, Sister Power. I like to thank God, Sister Power. I want to say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord. God is good all the time, Sister Power, Sister Viola. I have a prayer request, my dear sisters. My prayer request is to lift up my mother in prayer. My mother needs a lot of prayer. And please lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, please lift up brother, our dear brother Javel too. Lift up brother Javel in prayer. His name is J-A-V-E-L. You know how you spell his name, right, Sister Miola? J-A-V-E-L. Lift up brother Javel in prayer that he will be Seventh-day Adventist, and pray for him that he will go to a Jamaican church, Seventh-day Adventist. It's in Boston, Massachusetts. And Sister Miola and Sister Powell, please lift up brother Javel in prayer that he will be Seventh-day Adventist, and he will baptize in the name of the Lord. And Sister Powell and Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for Jamaica too. Lift up his country in prayer to Brother Javel in prayer. Sister Tamiko on the prayer line, please lift up Brother Javel's country to my dear sister, Jamaica. Lift up Jamaica in prayer. Amen. Pray for Jamaica, Sister Miola, because Jamaica needs a lot of prayer. Sister Powell's country, Brother Javel's country, Sister Stephanie's country, Jamaica, Brother O'Neill's country, Jamaica. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli. Yes, we're going into prayers now, brothers and sisters. We're going to open up Sister Powell line again that she can lift up the prayers for us, brothers. Okay, Brother O'Neill is here. Brother O'Neill is here. Brother O'Neill, I will open your line, and we're asking you to lift up prayers for the brothers and sisters, Sister Tamiko and Sister Katie. Sister Powell, Brother Rick, we got prayers. Sister Brenda and Brother John is traveling. If you can lift up those prayers, the brothers and sisters, Sister Carla, we have all the brothers and sisters. You heard Brother Eli request. And do you have you want to just share something for a moment? You need to share something before you go into prayer? Brother O'Neill, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
You need to share something before you go into prayer?
Yes, I want to share a short reading.
Okay.
You hearing me clear?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good night, brothers and sisters. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. Thank him for the outreach that we have today in Queens, where we went to the Spanish church to assist them in some health evangelism. It was a blessing. We thank God for that. We also have an upcoming health evangelism coming up in Connecticut. We're going to help the Virgin in Connecticut do our community outreach. You can join that. It will be also going online, and you can go on the website to sign up to listen to this. It's www.ctchat.org, and the program is from sickness to health. and the recoil will be one of be the oath that the thing, and the thing that they will be speaking about is secrets of the longest living Americans, and that you know, it's Seventh-day Adventist. They did our studies in California, and Loma Linda, to find out the longest living Americans was from that area. Principles that prevent and reverse common disease. Tips for better immune health. Healthy food recipe and samples. Free health screening, May 7th. They had that yesterday in the evening. And so they said on Friday, let me give you the dates that they have. May 12th, they will, May 11th, the circuit of the longest living American. May 12th, when heart attack. May 13th, that is Friday, next Friday, the rest of my sleep. And Sabbath is constitution of constipation. And on Sunday, read between the labels and moral. And all those days except Sunday will be 6:30 p.m. 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, Thursday 6:30 p.m. on Friday 6:30 p.m. and on Saturday 6:30 p.m. and on Sunday 2 p.m. So you go to www.ctchat.org, www.ctchat.org. Now once you go on the link, you will see the event from sickness to health. You can click on it to view online. So you want to view online, and you can able to see all these presentations online. So that was the announcement I wanted to make before I pray.
And you can go ahead.
So let's pray. Yeah, let us pray. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we all forfeit. Oh, what need or pain we bear. Just because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Most kind, loving, and eternal Father. The mighty name of Jesus Christ we come. We thank you for your love towards us. We thank you for waking us up this morning and guide us through another day. Thank you for every provision that you have made for us. Forgive us of all our sins, O God, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us, Lord, to be focused, especially in the closing scene of Earth history. We know that it's a time in our life where we should take everything to you in prayer. Strengthen our prayer life, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to have a complete prayer life. Every thought, every word, every deed. Be prayerful. Father, help us, O Lord, to be your representative in a world that is losing its hold on spiritual things. Father, we see what is going on, Lord. It's an indication to tell us that the end of all things is at hand. Help us, O Lord, not set our affection on things on this earth, O Lord, from the things of God. Father, you promise us, Lord, that you're going to make a new heavens and a new earth, your dwelling for righteousness. But there's nothing in this world for us to be covet of. There's nothing of this world for us to have our mind lingering on. Help us not to be like our wife, O Lord, to look at the luxury that she has been left behind in Sodom, not looking for the brighter future that was there. Help us, O Lord, to let go on all the temporal things with us and seek after eternal treasures. Father, we are living in a world where ignorance reigns over us, when knowledge is available to all. Father, we see that many have been focusing on the television screens and the news broadcast on the papers where so much destruction is there. It caused fear instead of faith. Help us, O Lord, to trust on your promises, because your promises, they are faithful and they are true. But there are many on the line, Lord. They have prayer requests, Lord. I get to ask for the means of the prayer request, Lord. That you know every situation of each and every one, oh God, on the line, Lord. You know their need, oh God. And you have promised us, oh Lord, that you will provide our needs according to your riches in Lord. Father, we need one of our greatest needs, oh Lord. Greatest need of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Because when we have your Spirit, oh God, we are at liberty, oh God. Because we won't be living for ourselves, we'll be living for you. Father, we pray, oh God, that we bless this ministry, oh God. Father, there are many who are seeking opportunities to get out of the city. Many are seeking a better place to dwell temporarily before you come to rescue them, oh Lord. So, Father, we pray that you will provide the means, oh Lord, and the place that you want them to be, oh Lord. Father, we pray, oh Lord, that you will put your head of shield around your people, oh God. Father, we pray, Lord, for your mighty servant, Brother King James, oh Lord. You have come to make a time like this for a purpose, oh God. Share the important truth with your people. Prepare your people to stand the chosen team of your face. Regardless of what is going on, Lord, that the great controversy we have in front of us, Lord, Scripture always says, God, you will have a people that will lift up the Bible, and the Bible will tell us the truth of God. It's the theme of your life. Not many languages, not many words, but thus saith the Lord. Father, help us, O Lord, be faithful and with each of our children, O God, cover them under your blood. Father, help us, O Lord, to be a example to them, learn to be and in God. Have your own sister, O Lord, that your will be done. Because you step to be, O Lord, you see your word. And do your state upon your servant, O Lord. Just in the case of thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for the prayer request. And Brother Akeem is not with us, so we can also do a second prayer. So let us just let Sister Power offer another prayer because Brother Akeem is not on with us. Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for the prayer because more prayer, more power, brothers and sisters. So let Sister Power offer one more prayer. Sister Power, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Can you offer
yes.
another prayer? Because Brother Akeem,
okay.
Brother Akeem
right.
is not here just yet.
Okay. Okay.
Amen.
Now thank we, O Lord God, with hearts and hands and voices, whose wondrous things have done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms and bless us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all his life be near us with every joyful heart and blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed and free from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and him who reign with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for this it was, is now, and shall be evermore. Father, the one eternal God, we, your children, come to you this moment, give you thanks for the praises and the power, Lord, that you have given your manservant, that he could come and present all these various requests to you, Lord. We have heard it, Lord, and we all agree with those requests, and especially the outreach program in Connecticut, Lord Jesus, that is going to be carried on, Lord, with your people. So we are asking you, as you are in the most holy sanctuary, dispatch your angels to everyone who have received those invitations so that they will join to listen to your truth. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love and your mercies on this line, and asking you, Lord, to keep us and to guide us and to allow us that we will keep our eyes fixed upon you as we are preparing to get that fresh bread from heaven, Lord. We are asking you, Lord, to allow us to be well equipped with the speaker, Brother Akin, who will be presenting those lights, Lord, new lights from above. We are asking you to allow us to be well equipped, Lord, with our papers and our pen and our Bible, so we can take notes and take those scripture passages that we can go back into study. Bless Sister Leola, who is the moderator tonight. Lord, continue to be with her. And also Sister Carla, who is traveling to work. Give her traveling mercies, Lord. Bless us this day, every one of us on this land. And even our little children, Lord, we thank you for them, for Sister Brenda, little grandchildren. We lift them up again, Lord, and all the grandchildren on this land. Bless us and keep us, Sister Katie. We lift up faithful Sister Lord Jesus joining. We lift them up. We lift her up again to you. We give you all the praise that due to you. You are the Creator. And you are the King of Kings, and you are the High Priest in heaven, and you are our Redeemer, and you promise that you want to clothe us with your robe of righteousness by faith in Christ, so that we will enter into that eternal rest with you. Lord, help us that we will stand firm and stand with you, Lord, that we all will be there to sing that welcome song of Moses and the Lamb. Thank you for hearing and thank you for answering. Fill us with your sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. Thank you, Sister Powell and Brother O'Neill for the prayers. And brothers and sisters, you know that prayers is so much power, and it gives our Savior the power to go to the Father and lift us up, and he answer according to his will. So you know we are in his love, and he keep us. So he will and every time we are somewhere and we get caught up in some situation, and you see that little deliverance, and that is that prayer that brought us through. Oh, praise God. Brother Akin is not with us. Brother Akin, just give me just a second. No, he says not come on now. And I will just offer up a little prayer, because you know what? Until our brother come on, he may join us in a few more minutes. We're going to lift up more prayers. Amen. Just another short prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we just come to you once again, Lord, as we pray for brothers and sisters. Lord, Father, we just come to you, Lord, to lift up our sisters and brothers. Sister Tamika, Lord, Father, she always asking for prayers for her son, Father, asking that you, Lord, take care of her children, take care of her, and provide for them, Father, especially her daughter, Lord. She works to help her mother, take care of her mother. Lord, Father, I thank you so much for young daughters and that's working to help their parents, their mother, and their just to just to work according to God's will to help parents. So, Father, thank you so much for those young people that work on that. And, Lord, you
bless them, and we ask him that you always give them protection. Father, we pray for protection over the single parents, Lord. We pray for protection over the children, the youth, Father, as we see so much happening, as Brother O'Neill has brought to us. We need to go on this website and learn so much, Lord, Father. So, Lord, as Brother O'Neill send this to me, I would share it with others. Lord, we just thank you, and we accept those prayers, not to go over the prayers, but, Father, to thank you for what has been prayed. So, Father, we thank you, Father, for each and everyone on the prayer line, and we welcome our brothers and sisters, even all the ones that's joined us online, like Sister Carla mentioned, so many Canada. I've heard her mention so many places, and, Lord, I don't always remember each name, but, Lord, we lift each and every country up to you as you continue to bless the people that join the prayer line to hear the word of God. And you say, bless those hearers and that we be doers of the word. So thank you, Father. And, Lord, as Brother Akeem come, Lord, Father, as Sister Powell has offered that prayer, Lord, we agree in all prayer. So thank you once again, Father, for the blessing. Bless us once again, Lord, and keep us as we are here to listen. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let's see if our speaker, okay, he's on now. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our speaker, Brother Akeem James, is here, and we are open the line, and we ask the Lord to bless the speaker and the message. And may God be blessed and glorified. Amen. The line is open, Brother Akeem.
All right. All right. Thank you so much. Glad to be with you all this evening. And as we continue studying, we'll be studying, continuing in Revelation chapter 13. Last week, we covered a number of things and some pretty intense things, but I've received messages from some of you and words even right after the message that it was understood and that you guys knew that it wasn't my goal to attack any specific individual, but it was to show the movements that are happening, and of course people, individuals are connected with those things. And so it is a powerful onus on us to be careful that we don't place our trust in princes, neither in any man, but we place our trust in the Lord. We saw last time that Christianity within America, especially many within the Christian right who are pushing, we covered both secularism on the left, but we found out that the end time agenda, the end time attack, according to Revelation 13:11, will not originate in the government. It won't originate in secularism or in the LGBTQ community. I'm not saying that those things are against scripture. They are. Certain lifestyles are against the word of God. For sure we know these things. And it is leading to much immorality within our nation today, along with many other things that people are doing against God's word, against justice, things that are oppressive in nature. And so there are things that are happening as it concerns secularism that are very negative and very deadly towards society. But as I mentioned, my fear concerning the end time events is not secularism as much as it is a concern. This isn't my main concern. My main concern is not the side that says, as much as it is a concern, my main concern is not the side that says, hey, we'll do what we want, we'll do things how we want to do it, even though they're being led by the enemy, but they don't claim. At the same time, they don't claim the name of God, or many within that circle do not. My issue is when you have those who are in the name of God following out their agenda in seeking the eradication of church and state. And friends, as I showed you in the article last time, and there are many other articles that are now coming out, interestingly enough,
from both sides of the spectrum that are revealing that Christianity within this nation is becoming radicalized. It is becoming so intense that it is beginning to use, as we saw in the article last time, it is beginning to use political systems in order to forward its agenda, especially Christianity within the United States. In the name of God, we read last time in the article, there are ministers and leaders who are seeking to destroy the separation of church and state, destroy that concept of keeping both of these concepts that are governing, supposed to govern the nation. They are seeking to eradicate the separation between them. And when you see those things, friends, that's Revelation 13 language. At the end of time, it is not going to be the, the original initiative of the government to pass a Sunday law. It is going to be because the government is influenced by Christianity, by the church, a radicalized church that will lead then to the government ultimately being controlled to such a point by the church that they pass a national Sunday law. That's what Revelation 13:11 tells us will happen. So whenever you see those kind of things, language coming from politicians and Christian leaders that speak of that annihilating of the separation of church and state, that's a test run. Many are seeing, in light of what has happened over the past 2 years, that was a test run. Look at what the government's doing. The government is making this initiative to take away our rights and all of these things. But you know what was missing? Apostate Protestantism. The prophecy tells us that the power we need to look out for when it comes to the end time conflict of the annihilation of church and state is when apostate Protestants lead the government in taking away our rights. That's not what we've been seeing. We may be able to have different perspectives on the place that the government has in our lives over these past few years, fine. But friends, don't call it the Revelation 13:11 test run. The Revelation 13:11 test run is when the church radicalized seeks to control the government. That's a test run. If it happens and then it's pulled back, that's a test run. And if it happens and it goes through, that's no longer a test run. This is what Revelation 13:11 is pointing us to. That's why I said in our last study, it is vital for us to know the prophetic narrative that God has laid out in his word, because many are beginning to come away from that prophetic narrative to side with Christian evangelicals in our view of what the prophecy has told us. And so may we remain true to the more sure word of prophecy. It is in these past 2 years, friends, actually in these past 3 years, not just with the situation of COVID, but also with the situation even with George Floyd and many other situations that have happened, not only politically, but racially, and in many other areas, natural disasters and other aspects that have been impacting not just America, but the entire world, that we have begun to see in these past 3 years, who truly believes in what the Adventist message says, and who has claimed to believe present truth, but really does not believe in the prophetic layout that God has given. And so this is where a lot of people, it came to my mind, finally I began to understand, whoa, this is why we are told that as the storm approaches, a large class will actually leave and side with the opposition. Why? Because in their prophetic understanding, they began to align themselves with the opposition. And so this is why many will leave and join Babylon. Why? Because many in the Adventist movement began to adopt the prophetic narrative of Babylon, which is that secularism and atheism is going to be the end time. They're going to be the end time, main end time enemy that we have to look out for. This is not what the Bible has told us. The Bible told us that the time when we need to look out for the state and the government and what it is doing is when Christianity takes over the government and unites with it to enforce its religious agenda through political powers. And it's the same thing that will then happen once Christianity in the United States does it, it will then spread to the entire world. That's why finally when we get to Revelation 17, more than the United States, we read of the woman, that's Babylon, the great, the papal system, finally receiving power. Because why? She has confederated with the kings of the earth. That's the political powers of the world. But who's going to lead that? Christianity in the United States is the first one who's going to set that up. That's how, as Revelation 7, and we're finding it out now, as Revelation 17 tells us, this is powerful, Revelation chapter 17 tells us, after the seven kings, and friends, now we have named the seven kings. In the past probably 10 studies, we have come to a realization now. Who are the seven mountains or the seven heads? Well, the first, it says five are fallen in Revelation 17:10. Five are fallen. That is Babylon. If we're counting from the days of Daniel, Babylon, Medo-Persia, 2, Greece, 3, Rome, 4, the continuation of the pagan Roman Empire in papal Rome, that is the papacy, 5, papacy is the fifth head. The papacy is the fifth head. But then it says, and one is, that is the power that would then come and give a deadly blow to the papacy. And that is the power that was one of the most ardent supporters, we are told in Great Controversy, of the papacy during the Dark Ages. That was France. France now, under the leadership of Napoleon, took the civil power away from the papacy. And what happened? The papacy's ability to work through the civil power to enforce its religious agenda came to an abrupt halt. It would start building up sometime after that. But friends, it came to an abrupt halt. Whatever power was waning from the dominance it had during the Dark Ages was totally put to an end in terms of civil power in 1798. But the power has been steadily growing, but there's another power, the seventh head, that has to arise to bring power back to the papacy. And who is that power? Friends, we just covered it last week in Revelation 13:11, and we'll continue covering it today. That power is none other than not just the United States, but Christianity in the United States, taking control of the civil power of the United States, and then handing it over to the power of Rome. Once this nation, Christianity and this nation, gives the civil power over to the papacy after it takes over the civil power, friends, then you will begin to see many other civil leaders render their power over to the Vatican. Because friends, as you heard it before, the statement goes, when the United States sneezes, the whole world catches a cold. Its impact and its actions universally influential. And so when this power, this nation, does that, you will begin to see other civil leaders do the very same thing. And that is finally hand their power over to the papal system. That's why it says, as we found out who the five kings are, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome, that's 5. Papal Rome is number 5. The one that is, that's France under the leadership of Napoleon. And the other is not yet come. That was the power arising even while France was taking away the civil power from the papacy. And who was that power? It was a power rising further in the West. That is none other than the United States of America. And so as this nation was rising up, Christianity flourishing here, a nation that had two governing powers, that's the two horns that were like a lamb. The power of republicanism, that is a governmental system where the people have power, a governmental system without a king, and a church that is Protestantism without a pope. And so as these two powers operated and governed the nation continued to grow and expand until today, it is the worldwide superpower. And friends, that will not change. There are many who are looking at things going on in China, or they're looking at things going on in different parts of the earth, and they're thinking, man, well, maybe this nation is about to rise and they're going to take the weight. They're going to take the lead and become the superpower of the world. No. Revelation 13 tells us who will remain the superpower until the end, giving its power over to the papacy, setting the stage for the rest of the world to do the same. And who is that power? America. Protestantism leading the way, apostate Protestantism leading the way, taking the control of the state and handing it over to the papal system. Finally, setting up what we'll find out today is the image of the beast, the image to the papacy. So friends, once this happened, we've covered all seven heads. Now, once the seventh head, that is Protestantism uniting with the civil power of America, once that power rises, it continues for a short space of time, according to Revelation 17:10. And then, what does it do in the Chile? Rises up, and when it comes under the full possession of the enemy, its purpose then is, because God has a purpose for the United States, as we're told in the spirit of prophecy, and the devil has a purpose for the United States. And the devil's purpose, as we're told in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, will be accomplished. And that is that when the nation chooses not to follow God, and it's not, we're not just talking about a lifestyle here, as I mentioned. We're talking about as it concerns Pharisaism. When Christianity becomes radicalized, what will then happen? It will then, in that short space of time, hand its power over to the papacy. So the seventh head rises to give power back to another beast. Where's that other beast? Revelation 17:11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth head. And who is that eighth head? And goes into perdition. Who is that eighth head? That eighth head is none other than the papacy. So the United States, that's the seventh head, rises up, and as it comes more and more under the influence of the enemy, it gives power then back to the eighth head, which actually, friends, is the papacy. And the reason it says it's one of the seven is because it is one of the seven. It was the fifth head. So the eighth head, the papacy, we found out was the fifth head, right? Remember we said 1, Babylon, 2, Medo-Persia, 3, Greece, 4, Rome, 5, the fifth head is the papacy. But it received a death blow. So, as the Bible says, there was a time when it was not. But it rises to supremacy again. The fifth head rises again, becoming the eighth. But when does it rise? When the United States gives power, civil power to it. All right? So I pray that this makes sense, because now we're about to pray and move forward in the study. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that as we continue to study your word, Lord, that you would illuminate our minds concerning how this is all going to come about. How is the papal system going to get worldwide dominance, even more power than it had during the Dark Ages? Lord, help us to see these things and to understand these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, so let's look at this. Go with me in your Bible now back to Revelation 13. So we found out who all eight heads are. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome, France, the United States, being led by Christianity, radicalized Christianity, then gives power over to the eighth, which is the fifth. That's the papacy. So now as this happens, how is this going to happen? Friends, it first happens when Christianity, and we're seeing pieces of that, as I read in the article last week, where you saw politicians and church leaders uniting and saying the separation of church and state is foolishness. As we saw that, we're seeing the beginning of the radicalization, but it's not fully there yet. Revelation chapter 11 tells us when it's going to come to that time. Revelation chapter 13, I should say, in verse 12, it says, and he exercises, that is, what, the first, that's the United States of America, or as I mentioned to you before, Christianity within the United States of America exercises all the power of whom? Of the first beast that was before him. And who was the first beast that was mentioned before the earth beast? in Revelation 13. It's the beast that rose up out of the sea. That's the papacy. So the United States will begin exercising all the power that the papacy had. And so it says, and he calls it, that word there is to force the earth, and them which dwell therein, to worship the first beast. Do you see that? So it says here, it's going to come to a time where Christianity radicalized, where specifically in context of verse 11 in the United States, will do what? It will cause those who are upon the earth to worship the first beast. But how is this going to happen? It says, and when this happened, it says, whose deadly wound was healed. Because you remember, in Revelation 13 and verse 3, the papacy received its deadly wound. I read in your hearing, Revelation 13 and verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded. That's the papacy. That's the fifth head, as we covered. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. That happened when? 1798. But the Bible also tells us that in spite of that death blow, it says, and that deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. How will it be healed? We're reading it now in verse 12. There is a power. Christianity in the United States will rise, exercising the power of the first beast. How is that possible? How did the first beast exercise its ability? Because Revelation 13 and verse 2 tells us, and the beast which I saw, about the papacy, was like unto a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. That is his ability. His ability to do what? Friends, we know what the papacy did during the Dark Ages. It had the control the kings and the civil powers of Western Europe. And it was so dominant over the powers of Western Europe that the kings and the princes and the dukes feared the Catholic Church and obeyed its every command. And so, friends, if now this is going to happen in this nation, it has to mean the same ability will be exercised. That's coming. That means Christianity, just like the papacy, will become so radicalized like the papacy that it will begin to control the civil leaders of this nation. It will begin to control the political sphere of the United States. That is what? Church and state united. That's how the first beast exercised his power. Church and state were united. The church, and here's how it happened. It wasn't the government telling the church what to do. This is where I have 2 years. Friends, no, it was that during the time of papal supremacy, the church was telling the state what to do. The church was telling the governments of Western Europe what to do. That, friends, is how this power will be exercised in the near future. So when we read it, let's read it over again in verse 12. And he, that is Christianity, united with the state now, had the ability, that's the power, to exercise the way that the first beast operated, to operate the way that the first beast operated. And that is how? By uniting the church and state, the church controlling governmental systems of Western Europe, the civil powers of Western Europe. And as this happens, it says, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. And once this happens, now what do you think is going to happen? Whose deadly wound was healed. That just makes sense, right? Because now, all of a sudden, everybody begins to render homage to the papacy. Why? Because of what happens in this nation. This nation leads the way. Now, how is it going to get to that point? Verse 13 begins to tell us. It says, and he, that is, now we're realizing it really has to be the church. Because it says, and he, that is, speaking contextually of the United States, of something in the United States, what is it? He doeth, who is this he? He doeth great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So I wonder now, who is this he? In a direct sense. Inspiration actually mentions that the he represents two things, and we're going to see it right here in Scripture, and then I'm going to read to you a few statements from last day events addressing this very point, this very key point. Let me bring up some of these statements here so that we can see it. All right? We're going to look at chapter 9 in last day events, Sunday laws. All right? Sunday laws. And as we look at this, we're going to see how this whole thing is going to play out. So it says here, he doeth great wonders. So who's this he? We know contextually we're talking about something connected to the United States. Now we're going to find out how we know it is Christianity. It says, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, in a very direct sense, that he is the devil. But the devil will use an instrumentality to accomplish this work. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 13. Remember that in the book of Revelation, the Bible meets its summation. That is, the Bible is summed up in the book of Revelation. That means when you read the book of Revelation, you are going to find connections to many of the other stories of Scripture, references to many other things and places in Scripture. Now, friends, you want to take a guess as to where Revelation 13:13 is taken from? Revelation 13:13 is taken from two other places in Scripture. Notice, when this fire falls from heaven, it doesn't destroy men physically. Rather, it creates a revival. How do we know this? It says in Revelation 13:13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And look at what happens as that fire falls. And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, that is the first beast. So something is going to happen in the United States that is compared in Scripture to fire falling from heaven, along with many other miracles that will cause the people, that will lead to such a deceptive revival that people will begin to render homage to the papacy. So now it's to figure out, where is this text taken from? Friends, in light of the shortness of time that we have right now, remember, there are two times in Scripture that fire fell, and it was not destructive, but rather destructive in the sense that it didn't destroy people physically, but rather it led to a revival where people, rather than being drawn, in this case, to the first beast, the papacy, they were drawn back to God. Friends, do you know those two places, where those two places are? One of them is in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah coming against, in this great showdown, against the prophets of Baal. He came against them, and they had a showdown as concerning, before all Israel, concerning who is God. And so, as this happened, the prophets of Baal offered up their sacrifices, and as they offered up their sacrifice, they were calling on Baal to come and consume the sacrifice. Nothing happened. They were going until the evening sacrifice. Nothing happened. But then, friends, Elijah came, and he offered up one prayer to God, and the entire sacrifice was consumed, including the water that was actually placed around that sacrifice. The flames licked up that water. And as a result, do you remember what happened? That's right. A revival happened. Temporarily, but it did take place. Everyone turned back to God to such a degree that, do you know what happened? Friend, Elijah was able to then kill off all of the prophets of Baal. That's why Jezebel tried to take his life later on, right? And he fled at that moment. But friends, we are told in the book Prophets and Kings, had Elijah not run, the revival that had begun would have continued and led into a deeper reformation. Sadly, because he ran, the revival was temporarily experienced. But friends, it began, why? because fire fell from God out of heaven. And so do you see what's happening here? Fire falling from heaven. What do you think people will think? People will think that, whoa, God is working. The fire is coming from him. In the story of Elijah, it did, and a revival resulted. The next time you see fire coming from heaven was as it came upon the heads of the apostles in the upper room, as tongues of fire coming from heaven with a rushing mighty wind symbolizing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the ability that God would give the apostles to speak in other languages, to communicate to the people that were there at Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And what was the result again, friends? The result of that fire falling was as the apostles went forth in power that day on the day of Pentecost, a revival took place. A revival happened. So this story now is a flip of those two stories. Because whereas in those two stories with Elijah and the apostles, a revival of true godliness took place. Friends, in this part, it's a revival, all right. It's a deceptive one. So Revelation 13:13, more so than necessarily, and it's not that it can't happen, but more so than talking about literal fire falling from heaven, this is an allusion to other stories. We covered what those stories are in Scripture, showing us that there's a revival coming. But this revival, because it deceives men, to go back to the first beast, it's not a true revival. It's a false revival. And that's what we're told in Great Controversy, right? We're told that as the devil sees the church beginning to awaken, as he anticipates the coming true revival, he will start a false revival. And this is what we're reading about in Revelation 13:13. Now, friends, if he's causing a false revival, are you then seeing what the power is that we're talking about in the United States? Are you then seeing who, when it says, and he doeth great wonders, do you then see what power in the United States we're talking about contextually? Friends, we're talking. If this is a revival, then it must mean that Christianity is involved. Do you see that? And that's why no wonder, as a result of these miracles, people end up turning back to the papacy, the first beast. Friends, what we are talking about here is that a false revival will sweep the churches of the United States of America to such a point that signs and wonders and miracles will not just be done among the people of God, but it will be done in the fallen churches of Babylon. God working miracles on one side and the devil working, sweeping throughout the fallen churches to establish them in deception through signs and wonders. And as these signs and wonders take place, they're happening now, but friends, they will increase to a level that will blow the minds of the citizens of this nation, of the people that are here, and of the entire world. The earth will end up turning and worshiping the first beast. Why? Because of the revival in radicalized Christianity that starts here. And it's crazy, because when you look at Christianity, as we were looking at the article last week, as you study and you continue to dig deeper into many of these leaders, they keep saying, you'll hear a statement by them over and over, a great awakening is coming. And it's not wrong to use that phrase, even within our church. But the question is, what awakening are you talking about? When they're seeing a great awakening is coming, they don't realize that when it will happen in their churches, it will be a false awakening. It will be a deception that will happen. And then you know the other thing that you hear them saying, many of the ministers in the fallen churches saying, they say it will be accompanied by signs and wonders. Friends, it's coming. It's already happening among many of these preachers who are seeking to do signs and wonders already today. But friends, it's going to happen on an all-time high in a very deep way. when it gets to the point that we're reading about in Revelation 13:13. Now, I want to read some of these statements to you. This is how this aspect of Sunday sacredness will come about. This is the platform being laid, because when these things happen, these fallen churches will believe that, well, God is with us. God is with us. And as they believe that God is with them, having all of these signs and wonders accompanying them, friends, unless you know the Bible, you're not going to be able to say this is a false revival. Church leaders, civil leaders, many will be like, whoa. We saw that already happening in the article we covered last week. But it's going to happen on an even greater level. People will begin to unite. Friends, at that time, I tell you the truth, there will be no such thing as an atheist. This is why I'm not, this is why all those things that are happening in atheism and secularism are concerning. It's not as concerning as this. Because when this happens, friends, there's going to be no such thing as an agnostic and an atheist. For an atheist, seeing is believing. Once they see these wonders, they will begin to believe them. But it will be a great deception. That's why God will have to raise up at that time another movement, and we'll cover that at another time. He'll have to raise up his people, his remnant, to do a work that counteracts the work of what is being done by Satan in the United States in radicalized Christianity in Revelation 13. We find that work that God will do to counteract that work in Revelation 14. But this is what's going to take place. This is what is going to lead to people saying, well, if these great signs and wonders are accompanying the fallen churches, then maybe they're right. Maybe the reason that the morals in society has dropped is because we're violating Sunday. Friends, I'm going to read to you what it says here. And this is found in Last Day Events, page 123. It says, God denounces Babylon because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. God made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, sanctifying this day, and setting it apart from all others as holy to himself, to be observed by his people throughout their generations. But the man of sin, that is the papacy, exalting himself above God, sitting in the temple of God, that is in the church, and showing himself to be God, thought to change times and laws. The reason it says thought is because he can't. But in the minds of men, he can make it appear as though God's law has changed. This power, thinking to prove that it was not only equal to God, but above God, changed the rest day, placing the first day of the week where the seventh should be. And here it is. And the Protestant world has taken this child of the papacy, that is Sunday, to be regarded as sacred. In the word of God, even Sunday is sacred. The child of the papacy, this change that the papacy made, this is called for fornication. Oh, very plain, right? During the Christian dispensation, the great enemy of man's happiness has made the Sabbath of the fourth commandment an object of special attack. Satan says, I will work. So this is Satan speaking now. I will work at cross purposes with God. I will empower my followers to set aside God's memorial, the seven-day Sabbath. Thus, I will show the world that the day sanctified and blessed by God has been changed. That day shall not live in the minds of the people. I will obliterate the memory of it. I will place in its stead or in its place a day that does not bear the credentials of God. A day that cannot be a sign between God and his people. I will lead those who accept this day to place upon it the sanctity that God has placed upon the seventh day. That's Prophets and Kings, page 183 and 182. Hence, we read now in Last Day Events, page 124, and the direct statement comes from volume 3, Selected Messages, page 392. Hence, what happens? Continues by saying, in the warfare to be waged in the last days, there will be united in opposition to God's people all the corrupt powers that have apostatized from allegiance to the law of Jehovah. In this warfare, and we saw those who apostatized, right? It's not just the papacy, but Protestants who have accepted this child, Sunday, have accepted this child of the papacy. In this warfare, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment will be the great point at issue. For in the Sabbath commandment, the great lawgiver identifies himself as the creator of the heavens and the earth. We have, now here's where we need to be careful, all right? It says, we have been looking many years for a Sunday law, she said in her day, to be enacted in our land. And now that the movement is right upon us, we ask, what are our people doing in this matter? We should especially seek God for grace and power to be given his people now. God lives, and we do not believe that the time has fully come when he would have our liberties restricted. And you remember, that's what happened, friends. That's what actually happened. You remember, in 1888 onward, there was an agenda by Senator Blair to try to push the Sunday law through. Praise God, he raised up a man by the name of Alonzo Trevier Jones to stand against that, and as a result, it was not passed. More time was given. Why? Because God's people weren't ready. But friends, there is coming a time where the prophet saw four angels, I continue reading, standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, the sea, nor on any tree. Another angel ascending from the east cried to them, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till what has happened? Till the work of righteousness is done, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. This points out the work we now have to do. That's why the Sunday law wasn't passed. And friends, that's why we have to stop using this phrase, game over, or it's about to be finished. Because unless the righteousness of God is sealed in his people, unless we have experienced the righteousness by faith experience, as many connections as the Pope is making, unless God's people are perfected, God will not allow Christianity in the United States to move forward in its radicalized state, unite with the state, and then give its power over to the papacy. I was telling some friends that the other day. We were having a Revelation 13 study yesterday at my church, and I was telling them, friends, we have to be careful because many are looking at the papacy, and they're thinking, man, it's done. They're about to pass this Sunday law. The Pope is about to unite with these civil leaders, and it's going to get passed. But they're missing one. They're missing two key points. The perfecting of the saints by the righteousness by faith experience, and then following that, Protestantism working with the state in this nation to unite with the civil power and then give it back over. As we found out, friends, unless that happens, the Pope can make as many connections as he wants, and he can lay the foundation and the groundwork. But friends, he's not going anywhere further to passing a Sunday law until the false revival that we are talking about here happens in this nation. That's why we have to know the narrative. If we don't know the narrative, then everything that the Pope does, we're going to think, man, it's done. And we're missing the key components of Protestantism in North America, which the prophet points out, both the prophet, meaning John, and the prophet, Ellen White, the messenger of God. So my prayer is, as we continue, we're going to continue this next week. My prayer is, may we learn the prophetic narrative. Don't believe everything you hear on YouTube. I even tell you, don't believe me. Go study and see if these things are so. Don't study through my lens. Don't study through the lens of the people that you're hearing on the internet. Go back, take your Bibles, and take the writings of inspiration, the rest of inspiration, I should say, and compare these things and study them intensely, friends, so that there will be no deception concerning the prophetic layout. We have a way mark. God has laid it out for us, so we don't put things ahead of their time. I pray, friends, that this made sense. And now we will close. Father in heaven, I pray, oh God, that these things made sense to us, Lord. And Father, that it will inspire us to go back and study more, to spend more time sitting down, maybe turning off YouTube, turning off things that we even usually listen to, and go back, take our great controversy, take our desired ages, take our Bibles in hand, take our last day events, reading them piece by piece, and making sure that we know what is truth. I pray, Lord, and I ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this message, brothers and sisters. And yes, and we will look at those notes over. So we just want to thank Brother Akeem for the message. And God bless the one that bring the message. And we will study this and look at it again by God's grace and hope each and every one of the brothers and sisters. So we will listen to Brother Akeem James next week. If he be here next week to bring the rest of his messages, then brothers, it's been very interesting. And I've gotten some information and some things I already know. So I just want to thank God for it. Amen. So Brother Akeem, I don't think anyone have any questions. So we're going to close out and we thank you. And next time we hear you next Sunday. Amen. By God's grace. So brothers and sisters, we're going to say good night and we're just going to play this song and God bless you. And may you just look over your notes. So God bless you and good night. We're going to play this song, sisters and brothers. Redeem.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, and so having Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know.